Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. This is a difficult but very necessary conversation for Black women in the District of Columbia who are pregnant or who may become pregnant. The statistics for pregnancy-related deaths in the district remain heartbreakingly high. Black women making up 95% of them. The lion's share of those, some 60%, are in wards 7 and 8. That is east of the Anacostia River. Now, these numbers are not necessarily new, but the new information is that those numbers are not changing. Why is that, and what can be done about it? Ahead of Mayor Bowser's Maternal and Infant Health Summit next week, we are taking a look at this really rough topic. My guests are Dr. Nicole Lee Plenty. She is a board-certified OBGYN, and Melissa Hanna, CEO and co-founder of Mommy, a tech company focusing on maternal health for Black women. If you want to get in on this conversation, if you have questions, if you have comments, I invite you to join the conversation right now. Give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tweet me at HFisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Dr. Plenty, thank you so much for joining the conversation. Good to talk to you again.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
And Melissa Hanna, thank you so much for joining the conversation as well. I'm interested to hear about what you are planning as we get close to this conference next week. And before we go into that, I want to talk a little bit. I want to go behind these numbers, Dr. Plenty, because we discussed and have been discussing these issues on this program for quite some time now. And even as we were preparing to talk about this, these numbers still bother me because they don't seem to want to change. They do not want to improve. From your perspective, what's going on here?
So thank you so much for having me once again.
Sure.
I'll say that Black and brown women, specifically Black women, are still dying at an alarming rate because of preeclampsia, hypertensive disorders of pregnancy, lack of access to health care. Now COVID-19 clouds that, so we have an increased rate of Black and brown women dying from COVID-19 active infections. Then hemorrhage always is one of the number one causes of maternal mortality in the U.S. still. And then we can't leave out that we are not necessarily treated the same way as our Caucasian counterparts. So we do have some systemic and unconscious bias there as well from our providers. So I think all of that still plays a role in this since I talked to you the last year. But COVID-19 is just clouding that. And it's clouding it not just because people are getting COVID-19 in pregnancy, because they are, but also because we're trying to keep people out of the hospitals. And there's a shortage of beds in the hospitals for people that are sick from anything else besides COVID.
I want to take a little bit, I want to take a much deeper dive with that because, you know, first of all, I'm a man. And while I am a father, you know, the last time I personally had to deal with the whole issue of pregnancy was 23 years ago. Okay. My daughter's 23. But I do, I remember quite, you know, vividly that the childbearing process is not, it's not boop, you get pregnant, and then 9 months later you have a baby. You know, there's a lot to the health and welfare process for the mother, for the growing baby, their prenatal vitamins, their you know, there are doctor visits. There's just stuff there's, you know, to just to put it plainly, you know, Dr. Plenty, there is just so much stuff that goes into it. Are we seeing that for Black women, particularly those that may live in communities that don't necessarily have the resources, such as in the District of Columbia in wards 7 and 8, that they may be skipping these visits, may not be taking those vitamins, may not, COVID notwithstanding, because this, again, the last time we had this conversation, nobody had ever heard of COVID. And these numbers, correct, these numbers have not changed. So what is it that the mothers, or in some cases mothers and fathers, are not doing that they need to really buckle down and pay attention to? Those women that listening to this conversation right now need to grab a pen and paper or grab their cell phone and start taking notes for?
Well, you know, one, making sure that people are consistently seeking early and consistent prenatal care is definitely helpful. If somebody knows they're not feeling well, communicating with their healthcare provider to tell them, hey, something is wrong, and not waiting until your next appointment to say that something's wrong, but going to the hospital or calling your OBGYN or whomever your healthcare provider is at that moment to say, hey, I have a headache, or hey, I have blurry vision, or hey, I'm having pain. I know a lot of people tend to wait, or they tend to think they're a bother, but people have to realize that as a physician, I'm here to make sure they get safely through their pregnancy. And we are paid to make sure we're answering the questions that they may have, and that no question is a dumb question. Okay. So I encourage my patients, always ask questions. If you're confused after you leave a clinic, call me and I will be more than happy to discuss it with you. But I can't negate the fact that it can't all be not going to prenatal visits that's causing Black and brown women to die, right? Mm-hmm. Because in D.C., 1 in 3 Hispanic women don't get prenatal care until their second and third trimesters. But they don't have the same mortality and morbidity as we do as Black women.
So what's the difference? That's a great point. And that's a bit surprising to me. So what is the difference between, you know, Hispanic women and Black women? That's a wonderful point.
Hi, I'd like to jump in here.
Sure, please. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just think it's so important, the question you're asking here, because it can be difficult to look this right in the face and accept what's going on here. But we as Black women are treated differently in the healthcare system. And that is the answer to that question, because even in the best cases where pregnant and birthing persons are very active and engaged in prenatal care and showing up for all the visits or as many as they can make it to and participating in those early tests that need to be done and the ultrasound screenings and everything during the course of prenatal care, there can still be what we'd call a negative health outcome, including an injury during childbirth or shortly after delivery, or a death. And those numbers that we're seeing that have not resolved themselves for years and years now, specifically within the Black community, cannot be explained simply by looking at the level of engagement that new and expecting mothers have with their healthcare. It's a two-way street. You have to look at other parts of the system that may be interfering with or not necessarily creating those pathways to receiving the level of care, the quality of care that is needed to ensure healthy outcomes for mom and baby.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about some difficult numbers as it relates to pregnancy-related deaths in the District of Columbia. Why are they so shockingly high for Black women? If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Go right ahead, Dr. Plenty.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. You know, as a physician, I am an OBGYN, but I'm also a board certified maternal fetal medicine specialist. So
slow that down. Let's back that up for those of us who did not finish medical school. What was the second part of that, and what does that mean?
So I am a maternal fetal medicine specialist. So I'm an OBGYN that after residency, after those 4 years of residency, I went and got 3 extra years of training just to take care of high-risk patients in pregnancy. So now all I do is take care of patients that have high-risk conditions in pregnancy. I will say this. I am not proud of how healthcare is and how women are treated, but there is fact that Black and brown women are treated differently, sometimes unconsciously, than our other counterparts. It's something that we as physicians need to embrace. We need to do more unconscious bias training that needs to be across the board so that we can figure out the root cause and have people be treated more equally. But what Hispanic women don't have, especially if they are first generation, they don't have the chronic stress that Black and brown Black women have had to endure since slavery here. And we've seen studies, the American Heart Association did a study that shows that people that are first generation African and migrate over here don't have the same mortality rate as Black women that were born here. But after a generation, they do. And after they've been in the country, if they have kids 10 years later, they have the same mortality rate. So there has to be something said about chronic stress, as well as racism in America and bias in how we're treated.
I want to talk with you, Melissa, about MOMMY, your partnership with DC Health, again, ahead of this Maternal and Infant Health Summit next week. You know, we often hear the term, you know, yeah, there's an app for that. But this is a really critical piece of technology that you are developing. Kind of break it down for us and what it does and how this could help in some way turn these numbers around.
Yes, well, I think that the best place to start is really something that you shared just a few minutes ago about the many aspects of the maternity journey for parents. Really, families across the country are inundated with a high level of information, of education materials, of programs, of offerings, of services, of things that they need to do, things that they might want to do, things they should try to do all throughout the journey of pregnancy and postpartum and new parenthood. And it can be a lot to manage and it can be a lot to navigate. And that's if everything's going well. Mm-hmm. And you start to add in the high-risk conditions that were mentioned around hypertension, high blood pressure, around gestational diabetes, other blood pressure and blood concerns. There are a number of additional risks, especially related to chronic stress, as was mentioned, that can really start to add layers of complexity to this maternity journey. And it was already complicated before it got risky. And so what we're focused on at MOMMY is providing a model of care that really is focused on connecting the pieces of the puzzle together for new and expecting families. And specifically, our work focuses on communities of color and specifically with Black women, especially as part of our work with DC Health and the Mayor's Office for the DC metro area, so that pregnant and birthing persons across wards 5, 7, and 8 especially have the tools that are essential to being able to navigate their care experience, really lead and own their birth journey and have confidence in birth. So the components of that are giving those families a tool to be able to manage all of their care in one place, regardless of who they're working with. You may have a doctor at one clinic. You may be delivering at a different hospital. You may have a home visiting nurse program that's checking on you. You may be visiting a community center or social service agency or program for additional support and resources all throughout this period of time. And it can be tough to juggle that. And so Mommy is first and foremost an app for new and expecting moms to be able to keep track of all that in one place. List your care team members, who's working with you in all of those different organizations, what programs are you a part of, what resources and services are available to you, and make sure that you are getting the chance to take advantage of all of those resources and services that are available to you across the D.C. metro area, and not missing out on anything.
Hold on to that point, because this is just fascinating to me, and I really want to hear more. I want to hear more details about where this idea came from, more about how it works. We also have Karen on the phone from Silver Spring. We want to hear from her as well. So, Karen, please do not hang up. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about Black women and maternal health, how we can get rid of those horrific numbers regarding the death of children at childbirth and improving maternal health for Black women. Please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3. HD2 and 98.3 FM. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This conversation continues in just a few seconds. I'm Harold Fisher. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a bit. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are having a difficult but very important conversation about maternal health. Women who are pregnant now or who may be pregnant in the District of Columbia, how can you improve the health of yourself and the health of your unborn child? We have great guests on the line with us. We have Dr. Nicole Plenty, board certified OBGYN, also Melissa Hanna, CEO and co-founder of Mommy, a tech company focusing on maternal health for Black women. This discussion is ahead of D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser's Maternal and Infant Health Summit. That's coming up next week. This is an annual event, a very important event for all women, but particularly Black women in the District of Columbia. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If you're having difficulty getting through, please keep trying. I promise I will get to you. Before we go back to the phone lines, I do want Melissa to continue her point, because Melissa, this is an amazing, for lack of a better term, invention and a thought process to improve maternal health. What was the genesis of this for you and the company?
Well, thank you so much for the kind words there. This has been something that I've been building with my team now for several years. Started working on this idea in 2014, and it's been a long time coming to bring this to life and to be able to do this kind of citywide and district-wide implementation across the D.C. metro area, specifically to support the 10,000 Black mothers in the D.C. metro area every year. The idea really started out actually working with my own mother on this topic. She is a nurse and board-certified lactation consultant, been working in the industry for over four decades, and it's deeply her passion to do this work for supporting women and children. And I was working in the tech industry on a number of different projects with different companies and seeing good things getting built, but not necessarily always having the social impact that I felt was possible in this space, that technology could be used in a way that actually started to create a more positive, just more positive impact on the world, especially for folks that have been historically marginalized and overlooked. And I felt very much that there was a need for a refocus of how technology gets used. I had to pitch my mom on the idea first after hearing from her so many of the challenges within maternal and child health and how many providers really do want to see these numbers turn around, and that there is still and has been a commitment to change for a very long time. We know that, but then we don't necessarily see the change. And so I pitched her on the idea, and I said, what if we could connect the dots together and connect the healthcare professionals and the healthcare organizations together so that families do not fall through the cracks of the system? And so that no one can have that excuse anymore of, oh, we just didn't know that she was struggling. We just didn't know that she needed that care. Or, you know, we never got a call from her. She never came in for her appointment. And really eliminate those kinds of excuses, because in the case of maternal mortality, it's not happening in a silo. It's not like no one knew that there was a patient at risk. Someone knew, and they may have tried to speak up, but it might have fallen on deaf ears. And so really wanted to focus on using technology to create what we refer to as perinatal connectivity, connecting everyone together that is on that perinatal care spectrum. So that's really what the tool is. It's an app for moms, but it also is an app for providers to be able to connect together. And we're working with some of the biggest organizations across the D.C. metro area, a number of the different OBGYN clinics, a number of healthcare organizations and agencies out of the mayor's office to make sure that things really are connected together. So that's where it came from, and that's what the focus is today.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Karen, calling from Silver Spring. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, how you doing? I'm Melissa. You're doing a wonderful work. I just want to congratulate you as well. I'm a Washingtonian. Mm-hmm. I had my child in the Washington Metropolitan Hospital 42 years ago. And I was taught prenatal care, you know, in school and also other avenues. So to me, there's not enough education being taught to the actual women and the young men. How much does it cost to raise a child? What is all involved? Those details and books and information, they need to be ongoing conversations. Those conversations need to be had in the park. They need to be had where they are, because those kinds of, even online, open forums, because they don't have a clue. And I understand that the systemic racism and the problems with the healthcare system. And now I'm a senior citizen, so I'm feeling the brunt of that now right here in Washington, D.C. But we have to educate ourselves. If you have a medical issue, you have to do your own research. You have to research this and that. Some of the young folks don't have the tools, so we need to make the tools available to them so that they can try to do the work themselves. And if you teach them, then they will have the education to move forward. Oh, I need this test. Okay, so I didn't do this test. Oh, my baby's not latching. I need to go see a lactation. Who knew that there were lacticians available? I mean, there was no such thing of, you know, when I was coming, I had a 47-year-old. I mean, that's the baby I had in Washington, D.C. But I did my research. You know, I went to WIC. I went to the clinic.
Okay.
You know. So the starts with the education system, and it just needs to be educated everywhere we go.
Okay.
A table needs to be there. This is what you need to do.
Well, Karen, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us this evening. And I think that is at the heart of what Melissa is trying to do. This is just a 21st century attempt to bring information, education to the masses as we bring more children into the world, huh, Melissa?
And Harold, if I can interject too.
Sure, go right ahead.
So the caller, Karen, is right. We do know that systemic racism exists, and there's not much we can do about that quickly, but we can do our part. And so Melissa's app, I think it's a fantastic app. I will definitely post a link to it on my website so that people that listen and follow me can have access to that. But that is like the whole reason that I created Pregnancy Pearls Podcast and Pregnancy Pearls with Dr. Plenty, to give people the knowledge, to arm them with knowledge so they know what questions to ask, what the warning signs are, and things like that. There's free downloads on my website that has a checklist of what should happen at every single visit, and a free lactation consult that people can have, and a lactation checklist, and how you can find a lactation specialist. So there are resources out there. I have them posted on my website. Melissa's doing a fantastic job with her app as well, and I'll definitely share your content as well, Melissa.
Let me go back to the phone lines. Lauren, calling from Fort Washington. Lauren, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Go right ahead.
I wanted to call in because I just wanted to emphasize the fact that I heard you say that or ask the question, what else can moms be doing or what are they not doing?
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to emphasize the fact that it's not what moms are not doing.
Lauren? I think we lost you. Lauren, give us a call back because I do want to hear. I want you to finish your point. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So let me say to that, I think we do have Lauren back. Lauren, are you there?
I'm here. I'm sorry about that.
Stuff happens. Go right ahead.
So what I was saying is it's not about what moms are not doing. It's about piggybacking off of what Melissa said. It's about the systemic racism and the carelessness that's being handled with our Black moms who are coming into the hospitals. You know, they're telling doctors or whoever their caregiver is that something is wrong, that they have an issue or that they're not feeling well, and they're not being taken seriously. They're being sent home, and then something happens, and they die or something really bad happens to them. So the issue is not really that they're doing anything wrong. It's that the system is not working for us. And to be honest, the system is working how it was designed to work. It wasn't meant to work for us. So the best thing that moms can do right now, black and brown moms, is to get a doula to advocate for them if they're going to be birthing in the hospital. And if they're low risk, they should look to birth at home because that is really the best place for them to be, at home with a care provider who cares about their health, who is going to really take into consideration whatever concerns they're expressing, whatever they're bringing to them, and not just ignore them and tell them that, you know, it's something else. So that is a major issue right now, is that they're just not, we're not being listened to. It's well documented that white physicians and doctors believe that black women or black people in general have a higher pain tolerance. So they are more concerned about the white woman who's in the room next door because they think that the black mom can handle it. and my doula training, I'm not sure if you guys have heard of the organization For Kira for Moms, but the father of Kira Johnson's husband, he spoke to our training team and expressed to us that his wife was bleeding out for 10 hours because her bladder was nicked during a C-section. It was a routine C-section. You know, it should have all went normally. It was her second one, and her bladder was nicked. He had begged the nurses to help her, begged and pleaded for hours and hours, and they weren't paying attention. And finally, he took one of the nurses' hands and said, my wife is dying. Like, I need you to help. I don't know what else to do. She's dying. And the nurse told him, I'm sorry, she's just not a priority right now. So that's what's happening. It's happening across the country. So we really need doulas to advocate. We need black midwives to take care of our black moms.
Dr. Plenty, she said a lot. Is she right?
So in terms of systemic racism, because I talked about that earlier in the show, I agree. There is systemic racism there. And I would tell anybody, if you're not comfortable with your doctor, get a new doctor. Get a doctor mm-hmm. that looks like you if yeah. you're not comfortable with them. In terms of, like, the home birth movement and midwifery, midwives are great. I've worked with several of them. But I definitely do not agree that a home birth is going to be the safest way for black and brown women to have better outcomes. And I say that because...
Hold on, Lauren. I let you have the floor. I need Dr. Plenty to speak. Go ahead, Dr. Plenty.
And I say that because as a high-risk specialist, there are some people that don't realize that they're high-risk until there's something bad happening. And if you're at home and you have a shoulder dystocia, which is when your baby gets stuck in the birth canal, or if you are bleeding and the placenta is retained,
there's no blood at home. There's nobody that can help at home. And so I don't agree that being at home is the safest place for Black and brown women, because I've seen so many transports that come in hemorrhaging, okay, or seizing. And when we look at maternal mortality, the maternal death goes to the hospital that the patient has passed away in. Even if they were managed by a midwife before, whoever touched that patient last is how the maternal death is labeled, okay? So it's labeled as a physician maternal death. So it makes, the data makes it look like, oh, Black and brown women are dying more so if they're cared by physicians than midwives. That is not true. And so I would definitely advocate for low-risk women to be delivered by midwives in a birthing center. That way there's access to resources. And the midwives that I work with do deliveries in a birthing center. The other thing that we have to be very careful about is the difference between certified midwives and lay midwives, okay? So I agree, certified midwives are a crucial and important part of the birthing process and the plan, but they understand that they need resources available in the event that emergencies happen. We all want pregnancies and deliveries to be normal and routine, but it's not routine when it becomes unroutine, and you can't necessarily predict that. And so a birthing center would definitely be much better than laboring at home with the midwife. Birthing center, you can still have a midwife. As a high-risk specialist, I think all of my patients should have a doula. I've talked about this before on several interviews. Doulas do make a big difference in terms of the outcomes of Black and brown women and reducing morbidity. Doulas can be in the hospital. They can be at home. So I don't think that you have to have a midwife. You can't have a doctor if you have a doula. I think that doulas should be, honestly, across the board, especially if you're high risk, to help you sort of navigate some of the questions that you may have. Doulas know exactly what questions to ask even before some of my patients ask it. So I think that they're great access and a part of the care team, definitely. But I don't believe that people should just avoid the hospitals altogether, because we know that there are underlying health conditions that people don't know about and they can get in trouble really quickly.
Okay, Lauren.
Yes, I completely agree with you in the fact that there are people who need to be in the hospital, who need to have the, like, modern medicine is here for a reason, and there are certain people who have health issues who need to be there. However, there are some low risk, and I am a student midwife. I'm working under a CPM.
What is a CPM?
A CPM is a certified professional midwife.
Okay,
and
go ahead.
A certified professional midwife specializes in home births. So there are low risk women who are fine having their birth at home, and a CPM who is licensed, who has to go through a certain education and licensure and exam process, they come prepared with all of their equipment. They are prepared if, in case there is a hemorrhage for some reason, in case they do need to provide oxygen, and they have a relationship with the hospitals in case there is a need for a transfer. However, the majority of the time, if there is a low-risk woman who is birthing at home, it goes perfectly fine. I just went to a home birth 2 days ago, and everything was amazing. I'm not saying that it's for everyone. It's not. But for those women who are low risk and who have no complications and no issues, that is definitely a route to take, because that is somewhere where you're not going to go into the hospital and have the cascade of interventions.
So if I may, because you said something that struck me. You talked about going perfectly fine. That term bothers me, because one of the things that I do know, and I'm sure Dr. Plenty can attest to this, that pregnancy is probably one of the most complicated, medical conditions.
No, it's not. It's one of the most natural.
I didn't say it wasn't natural. I didn't say it wasn't natural. But it is complex.
Okay, Harold.
Help me with that. I didn't say it wasn't natural, but it is complex.
So hold on. So pregnancy is very, very natural. It is. People have been having babies since the beginning of time. But you got to realize that people were dying in their 30s in earlier generations. And there's a reason why women are actually raising their own kids now. So it is natural, but it was very natural to die in childbirth back in the day. So, yes, it's natural. And most of the time, deliveries go just fine. And if they did, there would not be a specialty called maternal fetal medicine, which is addressing high-risk things. Mm-hmm. And I'm called on for low-risk patients when complications happen. After you've done enough deliveries, and I've done thousands, you are bound to run into a complication. It all goes natural until it hits the fan. And that's why I'm saying if you're low risk, yes, go to a home birthing center. It looks just like your house. There is no one there except for you, your midwife, the tub, and a bed. But to not be across the street where you can get blood if you hemorrhage is dangerous. So when you are not near an OR and the baby gets stuck and you know you only have 4 minutes to get the baby out, it's dangerous. And I'm the person that's called for those type of complications.
Yeah. And I guess the point that I was making about the complexities of pregnancy, and this is the point that you were making, you know, Dr. Plenty, and this goes back to what Melissa is talking about, and this is why you know, I am somewhat hesitant with some of your points, Lauren. Because what Melissa is attempting to do, and I'm not speaking for her, but I hear this, is she is giving women and by extension families those tools that perhaps they may have had all over the house, written on scraps of paper or what have you. Notes, dates, reminders, information, all in one spot.
Yeah.
That makes it easier to do these things to make sure that you have a better grasp on your pregnancy as you get toward, you know, delivery. And I think that, you know, we want for Black and brown women and women in general, yeah, you know, historically we know, yeah, 1900s, 1800s, women dying in childbirth. Yeah, we know that stuff happened. It's 2021, and it is still happening. And that is the point of this conversation, and that's the point I think that Dr. Plenty is having. Let us reduce the risk, particularly for Black and brown women. You know, let's reduce the risk. Let's not take that risk.
Right. And what the doctor is doing is very necessary. It's very important, and I'm not disagreeing with that at all. Like, there are women who are high risk and who will need your services. However, I stand by what I say. There are women who are low risk, and if you are low risk and there are no complications and you are working with a licensed, experienced midwife, you will be safe giving birth at home. I stand by that. A home, a birthing center. What is happening in the hospitals right now? You go into a hospital and it's a standard set of protocols, a standard procedure that they're putting you through, regardless of if you're high risk or if you're low risk. So there's this stigma around home birth, and, you know, it's intentional, it's purposeful, it's part of the systemic racism of this country, the fabric of this country. But there are women who are great candidates for home birth, and if you're working with an experienced midwife who is licensed, who knows what she's doing, who is equipped, you are safe giving birth at home. And, you know, I I'm not negating what she's doing. I think what she's doing is extremely important. And I think that we need people in birthing centers and at home advocating for us. We also need people in the hospitals, because home birth is not for everyone. Everyone does not have access to it. Everyone does not have access to a birthing center either, because of insurance and other things like that. So there are, the majority of us are going to be birthing in the hospital. So we do need those people advocating in the hospital, but that's not the only route for us to take. And I just want everyone to understand that. And to look into it and to do your research. And there is a documentary called Why Not Home? And it actually follows several OBGYNs who give birth at home. So I would encourage everyone to take a look at that. Also to watch The Business of Being Born. And just do your research and look into it and see what you think. My name, again, is Lauren Fortune. I am a doula and a student midwife here in the DMV area, and my Instagram is Birthing Reclaimed.
Well, Lauren, let us hope that you raise your voice just as passionately next week for the Health Summit, the Maternal and Infant Health Summit, because we need all voices that are pointing in the direction of better health for Black and brown women, pregnant, and those who want to be. But thank you so much for your phone call. Bob, calling from Virginia. Thanks for hanging on, Bob. What's on your mind?
My daughter went to college in Canada. She had a baby, and I wasn't there. But after she had the baby, I didn't hear from her for like 2 years. I kept calling. I couldn't find her. Finally, she called me back, and I saw her on the phone. And she told me that she had a difficult birthing, and she had lost all her hair. So I didn't want to keep questioning her about it, so I didn't want to upset her. But I was just wondering what happened.
Dr. Plenty, your thoughts about that?
Yeah. So I don't know about after 2 years, but usually after you give birth, some people have very mild shedding. Some people's shedding can be a little bit more dramatic, and it's called telogen effluvium. That is, it happens because of hormonal changes that women go through in pregnancy, which causes you to have more estrogen, so you hold on to your follicles for longer, and then you go back to your pre-pregnant state, so you have a lot of shedding afterwards. So a lot of women can lose a lot of hair, and then they choose to cut it. Now, after 2 years, she should have had some regrowth, so I can't speak to that long a period of time, but that 6 months after pregnancy would be telogen effluvium.
Okay. Bob, thank you so much for your phone call. Melissa, after the complexities of that last, back and forth, I think that this really speaks to the heart of the kind of work that you're doing, the important work that you're doing. Share some final thoughts about what you see on the horizon in this intersection of tech and maternal health for Black and brown women.
Yes, well, I actually think that back and forth is really elucidating to all of us and your listeners about what the conversation is across the country right now around how to better take care of our community and do right by Black mothers. And there's a lot of different opinions out there. Ultimately, connecting everyone together so that no matter where she ends up, if she's in a home setting, in a birth center, in a hospital, and delivering this child, that the folks around understand where she's coming from, what she's been through, what her goals are, what her, what her vision is for this birthing experience and for returning home safe and sound with a new baby, that she's centered in this whole experience and her needs are centered in that. So I think that that's really what we're hearing, a lot of debate around that. But I think that what Dr. Plenty said cannot be overstated. Really, these are, we're talking about very complicated and high-risk scenarios where it really actually is life and death. And this is what we're talking about across the D.C. metro area. This is about what's going to be addressed at the conference next week. These are the topics that matter. Having a doula, having an advocate, having a birth work professional who is listening to you and advocating and helping you raise your own voice to make sure that your needs are met is an important part of that, no matter where they're working with you, whatever setting they're in. Mommy is really excited to be connecting with healthcare organizations, allied health professionals, birth workers, and social service programs across the D.C. metro area, particularly the folks that are very focused on and passionate about improving birth outcomes, specifically for Black mothers. So I'd love to connect with more folks, more organizations that are doing this work, and really bring them into the platform so that when someone who's pregnant signs up for mommy, they're able to really bring all of those pieces of the puzzle together, manage that, stay connected. We also offer a lot of groups and classes. We talked about education early on. I think it's very important that Dr. Plenty said that these conversations are moving online. They're moving into podcasts. They're moving into webinars. They're moving into online support groups and classes so that Black mothers can commune with each other and can support each other even during these times when we can't all necessarily be physically together. So that's another big part about this, is bringing those conversations online into the app. I'd love to just invite new and expecting mothers to sign up for Mommy, for health organizations and social service programs to sign up for Mommy. The site is mahmee.com/DC Health. That's mommy.com/DC Health.
Well, I'll make sure that information for your organization, as well as Dr. Plenty's organization and the summit, will be posted on WHUR.com after 8:30 tonight. So I want to thank both of you for the wonderful work that you're doing. Again, Melissa, congratulations. Dr. Plenty, thank you so much for joining us. Again, it's good to talk to you.
Thank you so much.
That is the Daily Drum for this Thursday, September 9th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.